So today we're talking about being fully persuaded, part four. And I pray that we're going to have enough time to actually wrap up this series. A series that would have actually just been a single message, but the Lord has just been adding and adding and adding. And I must tell you, even delivering these messages over the last 4 weeks, it has built my faith. And I believe that this is a now word in this now season that we are finding ourselves in as a church, as a body of Christ. Not only in this nation, but in Africa and the nations all around the world. Again, our scripture comes from Romans 4, verse 16 to 25. Verse 16 says, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it might be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. Once more time, who of you in this place and watching by way of television say, I have the faith of Abraham? If that is you, come on right there where you are. Let your amen be the loudest in Jesus' name. It continues to say that he is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Even to say today that today being Father's Day, we again just want to extend a happy, happy, blessed Father's Day greeting to every single one of the fathers. But also here comes the challenge. Fathers, make sure that you are imparting blessing, because God is a generational God. God is the one who is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so it is that Abraham became the father of many nations. How? By faith. The promise came by faith. And so it is that even right now, be reminded of the promise that God has made you. You might not be the second generation or even the third generation that has been inheriting the promise of God and the blessing of God that has come down, that has been passed down to you by the generations. But I even pray right now that the anointing that was upon Abraham, a pioneering spirit, will come upon you, so that you will say, I might have not had what Abraham had or what Isaac had as a second generation, but I will be the Abraham of my generations to come. I will be the pioneer. I will be the father of my faith, of the faith in my generation, and I will see the perfect plan of God come to pass. Though it tarry, it shall come to pass in Jesus' name. If you receive that as a father today, shout amen. I heard some ladies even shout amen on that one. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Verse 18, against all hope, against all odds, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. Exactly, it came to pass just as God had said. Was there ever going to be another way? For when God speaks, his word will never return unto him null and void. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Faith does not deny the facts. Faith understands that there are the facts, but the word of God has the final say. The word of God is the ultimate, the absolute authority. Romans 13 reminds us of the fact that we should respect the authorities. But I want you to understand that this is the absolute authority. This is the authority above all other authority. Someone needed to hear that today. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do just as he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words that was credited to him were not written for him alone, but also for us whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. That he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Over the last few weeks, we've looked at these three particular points. Number one is that faith commands. Verse 17 says, God calls into being things that were not as though they were. And this, again, a reminder, it is the Greek word kaleo, which means to summon. That God speaks and there is. He said, let there be. And it was. Let there be light. And light was. Number two is faith wholeheartedly agrees. Verse 18 says in the King James, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to, and remember in the Greek, it could have actually read in English translated literally to wholeheartedly agree to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And I reminded you of the fact that agreement speaks of covenant, that we are in covenant with God. We have an agreement with God that has been drawn up, and it has been written, and it has been signed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the one and the only one who makes the atonement of sins. Because without the shedding of blood, there cannot be the atonement of sin. And Jesus is the one who entered into that holy place once and for all. He did not go with the blood of a goat or the blood of an ox or the blood of a lamb. For he himself was the sacrificial lamb of God. Behold the lamb that had to be slain. But I have a message for every single one, that Jesus is no longer the lamb. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And it is about time that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in 2021 and beyond will echo the thunderous roar of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right there where you are, remind everyone that God is alive, that Jesus is alive, that the church is alive, and that we will not be silent. If that is you, lift up a shout unto God. Hallelujah! We will not be silent. We will not back down. We will not be intimidated. We will not shut down in the name of Jesus. For the anointing that was upon Jesus was to go into the territory of the devil and to destroy the work of the enemy. Jesus never said that you will never ever have an enemy. The Bible never says that you will not have an adversary. But it does even say, even when we read what we find in the Old Testament, that Abraham taught his children that you will possess the gates of your enemies. The enemies will be there for sure, but you will possess the gates. In other words, you will be the one who will hold the key of authority. We today, the church, we hold the kingdom keys. For whatsoever we loose on earth is loose in heaven, and whatsoever we shut on earth is shut in heaven. God has given to us, the church, His legislative assembly. He has given us, the church, and only it is for the church that He has given that right, that He has given that authority. And in the same way that Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore go into all the nations, preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And then he said, but remember, be of good cheer, be encouraged, for I will be with you until the very end. If you believe that he is with you, come on, let your shout be the loudest in Jesus' name. We are in covenant with God. We have an agreement. It's a bond, it's a coming together of two parties. Back in the days of Abraham, this would have meant that what is mine is now yours. What is yours is mine. That your enemies have now become my enemies. Covenant is not a treaty that is set up today and signed today and then broken tomorrow. Covenant is for life. It is unto death do us part. That is the way of God, and there's no changing that. Number three is faith is focused. Verse 19 says that he refused to look at the external circumstances. He refused to look. Yes, he did not deny the facts, but that was not his focus. Can you say amen? You can tell me about all the challenges we face in South Africa, or in Africa and even the rest of the world. I'm telling you, I've traveled and I know people in almost every country in the world. Challenges will always be there. Jesus even said, in this world you will have challenges, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome this world. Again, the focus should not be on the challenge. The focus should be on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. I reminded you last week that when Jairus had just received unwelcome news, devastating news, it was a gut-wrenching blow. He had just received word that his daughter has died. They said to him, do not worry the master any further. Jesus was on his way to Jairus' home to go and heal his daughter, a 12-year-old girl. And then, in that moment of him trying to maybe just gather his thoughts, Jesus said to him, do not be afraid. Just believe. And again, even someone needs to hear this today. Regardless of what it is that you are facing, do not be afraid. Just believe. Believe. Have faith in me. That's the words that I hear from the Lord for you, for your children, and even your children's children. Have faith in God. Then number four today is that faith is bold. Talking about bold faith. Jesus asked this question in Luke 18:8, that when I return, will I find faith upon the earth? Right now, if Jesus were to come even right now, what will he find? Churches closed. When I return, will I find faith upon the earth? That's his question. So it's almost like I want to say in my heart, Jesus, please do not come now, because it would be an embarrassment. There are those who say, I can't come to church because it's too dangerous. But right now they are in the shopping malls. Will I find faith upon the earth? It's interesting how people can profess to have faith for the most outrageous, outlandish, worldly things. But when it comes to take God at his word, all of a sudden it's becoming foreign to the church. The just shall live by faith. It's a way of life. I hear many say, well, now this requires faith. We live by faith. Every single second of every single day, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. We did not require faith in 2020 or in 2021. We have always had to walk by faith. It's the only way. But I believe that if Jesus were to come right now, and if he were to walk in into this place right now, he would say, well done, my good and faithful servant. For I have found people. I have found my sons and my daughters who possess a bold faith. Why? Because they are fully persuaded. Proverbs 28 verse 1, how I love this. It says that the righteous, that speaks of us who have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We are in right standing with God. You are not just a sinner saved by grace.
Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I mean, we all sin.
Speak for yourself. The righteous are as bold as a lion. The moment you begin to challenge the status quo, you begin to challenge the societal norms, that which the politicians have to say, the political narrative. The moment you begin to challenge that, they will either try and discredit you or they will call you being arrogant. But it says in the word of God, Proverbs 28, it says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. What does that remind you of? Jesus, who is the lion of the tribe of Judah. So that you can almost say, and I know that from the context of the Bible, Jesus is our older brother, but almost as the world would say, like father, like son. As he is, so are we. Boldness, what does that mean? It speaks of a confidence, being secure, being sure, being certain, being even careless. That's how the Bible translates boldness, reckless, careless. This is why many people would say, they would look at your faith and they would say, well, you're being reckless. Surely. But even the Bible acknowledges that the world will look upon you and will look upon the deeds, will look upon your acts, will look upon your speech, hear your speech and interpret that as being foolish, as being arrogant, or even reckless. The Bible says this in the Gospel of Mark, that they said that Jesus is out of his mind. His own family said that. His own family. They seized him. They captured him. They held him. They tried to lock him away from the world. Why? Because he was wanting to make waves. The world is wanting to say to you, do not make any waves. The world will say to you, just go with the flow. But the last time I checked, it's only a dead fish that goes with the flow. We're not dead, we're alive. As he is, so are we in this world. Oh, but the world doesn't like it. Because they just want everyone to conform. But we do not conform to the ways of this world. Romans 12 verse 2 says exactly that. Warns us. It gives us the commandment to not be conformed to this world with its superficial customs and values. Yes, it's superficial. But be transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds. That is what we are called to do. Our highest calling as human beings, created in the image and likeness of God, is to conform to the image of His Son. That is our highest calling. Coming back to boldness, what does it mean? It speaks about standing up against the status quo. Joshua commanded the sun and the moon to stand still. David took on Goliath. Eliab suggested then that David was reckless. He asked, like, who's watching the sheep? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we will not bow. We will not bow, Your Majesty. I will throw you in a fiery furnace. Go ahead. Because the God that I serve will rescue me from your hands. But even if he does not, I want you to know that we will not bow. Three young men. Why is it always the young men? But the young men who stand up, even against the authority, saying that God's word says, I must not bow. I may not bow, and therefore I shall not bow. I will not give in. I will not give up. Even Esther, a woman, from this particular context, a woman who knew that it was unlawful for her to go to the king, but yet she says, if I die, I die. I just cannot let this plan of the enemy succeed in this hour. If I die, I die, but I will be the one. I will be the voice. I will be the instrument in the hands of God. Paul preached the gospel of the kingdom with boldness and without any hindrance. So you can read about in Acts chapter 28. And then in Acts chapter 4, we read this. It says, as soon as they were released from custody, verse 23, Peter and John went to the other believers and explained all that had happened with the high priest and the elders. When the believers heard their report, they raised their voices in unity and prayed, Lord, you are the Lord of all. You created the universe, the earth, the sky, the sea, and everything that is in them. And you spoke by the Holy Spirit through your servant David, our forefather, saying, how dare the nations plan a rebellion, ranting and raging against the Lord Most High? Does it remind you even of this present day and age? Their foolish plots are futile. Look at how the kings of the earth take their stand, with the rulers scheming and conspiring together against God and His anointed Messiah. And then it says in verse 29, listen to this. And so now, Lord, listen to their threats to harm us. They were not denying the facts. They even called out all the role players by name. And then they said, empower us as your servants to speak the word of God freely and courageously stretch out your hand of power through us to heal and to move in signs and wonders by the name of your holy Son, Jesus. They did not ask God to move, but they asked that the Lord would move through them. Did you get that? Because we quote Ephesians 3 verse 20, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all that you could wish for, ask for, even begin to imagine. Poof, full stop. That's what people love to quote. Isn't it so? And then the rest of that verse says, according to His power at work within us. So that's the key. His power at work in us so that His power can be released through us. And it is harnessing then the power that is already within. Do not look for the power beyond and not recognize the power within. And it is then harnessing the power already within that you are able to experience the manifestation of exceedingly, abundantly, and above all. It says, as they prayed, the earth shook beneath them, causing the building that they were in to tremble. Each of them were again filled with the Holy Spirit, and they proclaimed the word of God with unrestrained boldness. These individuals were facing death, certain death. Christians today get upset because of someone just looking at them the wrong way.
What are the people going to say?
These disciples, these men and even women of God faced certain death on a daily basis. At any moment, they could have been flogged, they could have been tortured, they could have been captured, they could have been executed. But even the threat of death did not cause them to back down. What did they pray for? Oh God, come now. Jesus, come now. Just take us away from this world. No. They prayed for more boldness. In the Passion Translation, it speaks of an unrestrained boldness. And so it is that I want to encourage you, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Church of which Jesus is still the head, Church of which Jesus said that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Church of which Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So even right now, you've listened to this message and you say, now I'm fully persuaded. Even right now, call upon Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Simply say this. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I confess that I've sinned against you. That right here and right now, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. I receive your forgiveness. Come into my life. Touch me. Change me. Set me free. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you've just prayed that prayer, send us an email. whatnow@myfaithtv.com.